Good afternoon and welcome in to WEEI Afternoons. Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens on a not so joyous day in Boston after your Celtics spit the bit. Fitzy, Andy Hart.
What are you doing wearing Celtic green today? Take that sweatshirt off right now.
Thanks to our friends at Jameson with the
which
coolest
probably,
line
yeah, we're gonna
hood.
Need a lot. Which everyone probably glugged a handle of after watching that garbage fest of a game last night.
That's right, I said garbage fest, everyone. A game that the Celtics had a 20-point lead in. A game the Celtics could and should have easily won. I called it a garbage fest. I stand by it. Good day, Boston.
Well, let's start there then. 108-105 loss for the Celtics in overtime. They couldn't hit a three to save their lives. They set records for three-pointers taken. And usually when you set a record for three-pointers taken, you're hoping the other record you set is for three-pointers made in a game. They went the other way. They went setting a record for three-pointers missed in a basketball game. And all the basketball world is bitching about it. We're going to hear ex-NBA players, ex-Celtics, analysts, you, me, Ted, Fitzy, Stiz, that's you again. I got you twice in there just for good measure. Dan Ball. Everybody's going to bitch about it. And you know who the problem really falls on?
Let me guess. The problem falls with me.
No, us. It's not all about you, Fitzy. Yeah. It's us.
No, that's what I mean.
Look inside. Yeah. Point with a thumb, not a finger. Because the Boston Celtics, unless they play the Magic, basically want to shoot 48 to 63s in a game. That is how they play. And six times out of seven, they blow the other team out. They win the game. They win a championship. They do all the things they need to do. And then there's the one-off where they shoot horribly. And we're like, hey, maybe don't take every shot from behind the three-point line. Hey, the third quarter, maybe mix in a two-pointer. It's how they play. It's the way they want to play. And it's like the stock market. Over the long run, it works really well for them. There is return on their investment. It's Joe Mazzulla's style. Hell, to some degree, it's just modern basketball style. You know, Fitzy, I hate it. I hate modern basketball vis-a-vis, as they say, douchily, in regards to shooting threes. I would love to get rid of the three-point line altogether.
You're not alone, my guy.
It's
you
awful.
You are not alone.
But the reality is, Joe Mazzulla is honest. He's not being intentionally obtuse when he says, no, I was okay with the shot selection. They took open threes. They took wide open threes. They just missed them. The story of last night's game was as simple as can be. It, remember the old phrase, it's a make or miss league? They missed. Yes. Most of the time they make. Last night, they missed. And yet the general reaction is, oh, you got a coach better. Hey, Mazzulla, how about you mix in something creative and drive to the hoop? Hey, Tatum, how about you? No, that's the way they play. Like it or hate it, it usually works for them. Last night it didn't. Their superstar didn't show up. Their superstar was terrible. Their Batman and their Robin were both not very good.
Don't just say superstar. Don't leave that. It's not a singular. That's a plural.
Well, no, because no one calls Jaylen Brown a superstar. They call him a star. They call Jason Tatum a superstar because he thinks he's a top five player. He's the face of the league. He's the future of the NBA. And he's not.
207, Jason Tatum catching strays from Hart.
Well, they're not strays. This is more... you know how I was dead wrong when I said that the Patriots 0-17 was in play, and then they went out and won the opener against the Bengals in Cincinnati?
Yes, and then the narrative switched to 1-16. Yes, I know.
Yeah, well, I was dead wrong again on 2 points regarding your Boston Celtics. On the other end of the spectrum, I was overly optimistic. I entered the postseason thinking Jason Tatum was going to be an absolute dog, a badass D-A-W-G dog
who was going to
carry
this
team.
Last night.
Oh, yeah, D-O-G. He was the old D-O-G. He was a dog, and this is the second straight series. You notice that? Bad game in series in Orlando, game one.
The opener, yeah.
Bad game here.
Terrible game in the opener against Orlando. I would say they were commensurate to each other. They both were absolute bull snakes. That game last night stunk.
Orlando couldn't beat you. Instead, the rest of your team took over. This is Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum is who he is. He's maddeningly inconsistent in the postseason. He has stinkers in quarters and in games, but also has great games, great outbursts, and all of that. And then the other issue is I picked up the sweep, and you are not good enough to sweep, apparently, because that game, you kicked it away. You absolutely kicked that game away. As you said, I think, in our text chain, Fitzy, they can't hit a three and they're up 20. Like, they're not even playing well and they're up 20.
I said last night, as we were all just making our sort of like next day show notes out loud via text messages, said the Celtics. Meanwhile, the Celtics are up 20 and they're not even playing that well.
Right.
Now, that was both a commentary on the quality of the game we were watching, as well as a harbinger of what was to come, because the Knicks were just playing worse, or rather some of the Celtics shots were falling. And I'll say straight up, I will happily own this take. Had the Celtics won last night, that would have been one of the least enjoyable wins I would have ever watched, and the Celtics didn't win, and so they lost. And ultimately, that was one of the least enjoyable losses I have ever watched. That game was borderline unbearable. I have never fielded more text messages from high school friends, college friends, neighborhood friends, anyone and everyone who was watching the game with, "This is pathetic. People call this basketball. This is the modern NBA. I can't stand this. I kind of want to turn it off." From when I started watching the game on my phone on YouTube TV in the kitchen making the kids dinner to when I sat down and labored through the majority of the game on the sofa to watching it back on my phone as the kids went to bed and ultimately wishing I could throw my phone out the window. It felt like a grind. No individual part of it, no quarter, no segment. Nothing was fun about it. When Tatum was even hitting the 34-foot threes that he was settling for over Brunson or Bridges or whoever they had guarding him in the third, I just kept saying out loud, "The hell are you shooting these shots for?" And that's why I do have an issue with Joe Mazzulla, and I hope other people do, Andy. It's not just, check the shot charts. Well, I got to tell you, this guy and that guy have posted shot charts. They had this many wide open threes. They had this many ultra wide open threes. They had X number of super duper wide open threes, and they just didn't take them. How about drive to the freaking hoop and try to get a layup? How about a pull-up jumper? The lost art of the fadeaway. How about driving to the hoop and dishing to the guy behind you? A pick and roll. Something. This is my issue with Joe Mazzulla. It always has been, and it always will be. And I know he doesn't care about it, and I don't care that he doesn't care. I can't stand this style of basketball. It is not fun to watch. Even if they made 20 straight threes in a row, it's not enjoyable. Yes, it's an indictment on the current state of the game. Sorry, it sucks. It's really not fun to watch.
I just miss people saying this when they're winning 60 games. Because generally
I
see people go, "Woo, this is awesome, baby." They're cheering at the Garden. They're loving it. They're having fun. And I get it. You're winning and you want them to win and you think they're going to get back-to-back titles and this is the way they play. I don't love it. And I also don't get the idea of, and maybe this is because, and we can get into this with Ted when he arrives at 3, the Belichickian game plan mentality, or do business as business is being done, or once the game declares itself, you play the game under those parameters. Like, this Celtics team has none of that. Once the game declares itself, you can't hit a three, they're like, "I can't hit a three. I'll show you I can't hit a three."
Now, it's
showing
Kylo Ren just yelling, "More, right? More, more."
I'm not asking Joe Mazzulla to change his overarching umbrella philosophy on basketball over the course of an 82-game season. I'm not, because I think he's too entrenched in it for that. It is the year 2025. But when something isn't working, you know, the old, you're just going to keep banging your head against that wall and hope the wall finally breaks at
some
point?
That's the definition of insanity.
Insert reference to the definition of insanity, which is, of course, repeating an action and expecting different results.
And they are insane, and they're driving us insane for these one-off games. Because in all likelihood, they're going to win this series in 5 games, maybe 6. But the annoying aspect of them, like a stubborn teenager that knows it all, when you're the parent watching them, you're like, you couldn't just mix in? Because they built their lead. People aren't going to want to hear this. They built their lead in part because my guy, JB, was scoring 2-pointers in the second quarter. There was like an elbow jumper. There was one of those like weird alley-oops where he doesn't dunk it, but he just sort of lays it in. It's like,
And hat tip to him, I got to say, Andy, he took 20 shots last night. Only 10. Imagine that. Only 10 of them were threes. He actually took 10 2-pointers as well, whereas Mazzulla's got Derek White shooting 18 shots, 16 of which are 3, 8 out of every 9. Derek White is not Steph Curry. Derek White is not freaking John Stockton.
Nope, he is not. And he's a versatile basketball player who could do other things, but you can bitch about it, Fitzy. I can bitch about it. Ted can bitch about it when he gets here. Dan Ball can bitch. Stiz can bitch. But there's one person who's not bitching about the shooting and the shot selection. That's the head coach of the Boston Celtics.
Satisfied with the shot selection in that second half?
Yeah, I mean, I think for the most part, obviously, over the course of the game, you always can find, you know, 5-10 shots that you want to be better at. But, you know, I thought throughout the night, for the most part, we fought for good looks, you know, throughout the game. But, yeah, I mean, you can find 5-10 that we could be better at.
Fought for good looks? You stand far from the basket, and when the other team doesn't cover you, you call it a good look, which I guess it is in modern basketball. You said it's Fitzy. I don't want to read all those geek stats, terp stats.
Yeah.
They were all open. Almost all the threes were open, either sort of open, kind of open, wide open, whatever, the whole thing. You didn't hit them, and you didn't work for them. Like, how about just try something else? Just, you know, remember the old Eric Mangini line? Hey, Mangini, mix in a salad. How about you mix in a two? Because when you mixed in a two, you built a lead. And then my guy, Jaylen Brown, so I give him credit for helping build the lead. Then they start the third quarter. I believe it was back-to-back missed threes for Jaylen Brown to start the third quarter. Knicks go down.
Hell of a way to come out at the half.
Right. And it's just, oh, it is so infuriating. And then right down the wire, you had Jalen Brunson doing his job.
Mr. Clutch.
You had Tibbs. Well, not totally clutch because Tibbs.
Except for the bunny that he, Diego said, the bunny he smoked at the end. Yeah.
They drew up a beautiful play for him, something that is
Foreign?
Foreign to the Celtics. They're not like, wait, you draw up plays and get easy looks for your superstar just sort of
side
gliding
note to
toward
that,
the basket?
Andy, is there any way that, like, if Missoula has, like, an Apple Watch or something, like, can Brad Stevens? Brad Stevens was great at drawing up, you know, plays out of timeouts, game-ending plays to try to get guys looks.
Oh, yeah.
Is there any way he can zip one down from the owner's box, the president's
box,
or something?
How about just have, like, a binder? You know how PR executives have those binders, like in case of emergencies, you pull it off the wall and it's like, oh my God, someone said this or they did this. It has like...
Or just any sort of emergency-based worker or something like, oh, this is what you do if someone's choking, or this is what you do when you had a 20-point lead and now you're down one with 3 seconds left.
So they draw up a final play, which I thought was borderline emasculating, and I love the guy. You know I love JB. But Mikal Bridges took the ball from him. He took the game. He took the ball. He took the win. And that felt symbolic. And I don't want to get ahead of myself like Stephen A. Smith, because I do still believe the Celtics are going to win the series. I think the Celtics are the better team. I think they're not going to miss 45 threes. God, please don't let them miss 45
threes. Maybe they'll miss more tomorrow night.
And well, records are made to be broken. That's what they always say about them. A good record is made to be broken. But when Bridges took that ball from Jaylen Brown, didn't it feel sort of like Teddy Bruschi with Rose? Like... You're like, oh my God, do the Knicks just want it more? Are they more physically, mentally, emotionally invested in this? Because JB is a guy that I don't think usually has that happen.
Yeah, how about Peyton Pritchard trying to drive? Actually, I think he dribbled the entire 24-second clock. I forget exactly when in the game it was, Andy. Somebody correct me. It was the third quarter, fourth quarter. But he dribbles down low and he's trying to maybe get a look for either a fadeaway or kind of like. For some reason, Peyton Pritchard thinking maybe he could Euro step it, and they end up tying him up, and he goes down to the floor, and Peyton Pritchard has the ball ripped out of his hands
by Josh Hart,
and he looked like he had just like somebody had just like knocked him out. He was like half stunned and half sad, and I had that same feeling like, oh, gross. You can easily say that coming out of the tunnel in the second half, the Knicks acted like they wanted it more. The Knicks played like they were being disrespected. The Knicks played like people told them all week they had no shot against the almighty Celtics. And the Celtics were just going to basically stand on top of the castle wall and rain fire all over the Knicks. Well, guess what? The Knicks avoided some of those oily dumps on them. They avoided some of those flaming arrows. They got to the castle wall. They broke in. And they stole the gold last night. And you know what? They deserve it.
617-779-7937. We are going to take your reactions early and often here on WEEI Afternoon. So it's early, at least in the first segment. We usually don't go to calls. But I see you locked and loaded. Line them up. So let's go to Orlando in Boston. What was your reaction to that Celtics loss last night, Orlando?
Orlando in Boston.
To me, I'm watching the Celtics. I'm like, it's just stupid basketball. Like, you made a point that they came out in the third quarter and Tibbs made an adjustment. You really didn't. Celtics went up 20 in the third quarter. But then you see your two primary guys, Jason Tatum, who, by the way, is supposed to be the leader. They're the ones that are firing these three-pointers. So if you watch the Celtics under Jason Tatum and Brown, constantly blowing leads under these two guys because they set the trend. Like, why not just go to the hoop? Like, two-pointers, count two, you know what I'm saying? But they want to shoot three. To me, it's just stupid basketball in the Knicks, right? Now you're going to hear these Knicks fans, oh, we can play with the Celtics. No, you can't. No, you can't. You suck, right? It's just the Celtics just have to play the right way, and they don't. And that's what – it's just dumb basketball, and that's how I felt.
Thanks for the call,
Get
Orlando.
Get him, Orlando. Let's go.
Can I
– isn't that – by the way, one, I love the fact – that a guy named it's Orlando in Boston. Like, I know
talking about
did,
New York. And
yeah,
like,
we are.
Yeah.
No, we already did Orlando in Boston. Very ironic for the first call. But second, please bring that passion, bring that heat. You are allowed
better phone
to
would
say,
be nice,
I but. Hate this. Like, I love this team, but I hate that style of basketball. Andy.
So you hate the Celtics because they've been playing that style of basketball back to Brad Stevens. Like, this is the part that I find a little hypocritical from the fan base,
is bitching
about it when you lose one playoff game, but accepting it, loving it, cheering it, lauding it when
the
they've been doing
base,
it for years.
Who are we? No, like, for
yeah, the
example,
fan base,
3 years
like,
ago.
We love Boston!
3 years ago, April, Easter, I think it was like April 17th, Easter 2022. End of the game that where they stole Kyrie's soul and they went up 1-0 and ultimately won the opening round series 4-0 against the Brooklyn Nets back when they had Kyrie and KD. Do you remember what they did? Remember that little backdoor layup that Tatum went for with like half a second left?
Oh, yeah.
An unbelievable play draw, unbelievable execution, everything. It was sort of like, oh, my God, basketball. That's so ballsy. That's so clever. That was so well executed. It was beautiful to watch. I hold that play like deep tucked away in my Boston sports loving soul because it was so gorgeous. I'm not saying you're going to run the same damn play or something like it, but it was just like a really well-designed play, not like dribble, 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 three. Hey, dribble, three, dribble, three.
See, the difference, though, is, and Orlando blamed both the stars, Tatum and Brown, and I actually think Jason Tatum likes playing this style of basketball. I don't think Jaylen Brown does. It's why I said in the crossover with Jones and Keefe, I think Jaylen Brown would be a better basketball player if he got out from under the umbrella of Joe Mazzulla. I think the fact that they want him to shoot threes, he's part of the Boston Celtics, so not just him, Derek White took 16 threes, right? Drew Holiday takes 7 threes. Like, they're just going to jack up threes. Jaylen Brown, I think, would prefer to, as Scal tells us each and every Wednesday, play on 2 feet in the paint, right? He loves the little mid-range jumper. He loves to take it to the rim.
Person. But his strength, Andy, is not best used behind the arc.
Correct, which is why he was 6 of 10, if I'm doing my math right, from two-point land last night. 60%. He's a 60%. How about we double those twos instead of mixing in 10 threes? Let's just double the twos, right? Double the twos, and all
of a sudden
you hit 6 and 10 of those, 12 more points, you win the game.
The basketball computers understand your math, but it still does not compute in the long run.
Yep, that's Joe Mazzulla's problem. So we're going to get to more Celtics reaction. We'll get to my Twitter poll of the day where I asked a simple question about blame for last night's loss. And we've already been talking about some of the particulars. Mazzulla, Tatum, Brown, they're all options. Who did you vote for? What did you think of that game? And lots of phone calls as we react to that disappointing overtime loss to the Knicks in which the Celtics set a record for missed threes. Yuck. That's next here on WEEI Afternoons. But before we get to that, Dan Ball, he never misses a three. When he does, what's trending?